The word of wisdom. Toolbox of the Holy Spirit, the power tools. This is what God has given us to make things change in people's lives because they can see the power of the love of God in action. And so he's given us these different gifts, and hopefully I can help you understand them, and then that you can apply them. And you say, well, maybe that's not my gift. I believe that these gifts enhance your testimony. These gifts enhance your ability to witness. And so sometimes you'll move in this gift, or one of the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, or yeah, 1 Corinthians 12, whether it be maybe healing or in this the miracles. There's just things that will happen, and it doesn't necessarily that, okay, there's a miracle needs to happen, so we better have the miracle person come. That's not how God does it. What he does is if you're open, he will give you that gift at that particular time. And there's a gift of faith we're going to talk about, and that's different than the faith that you have. And so he'll give you that faith, like just this extra faith to make it through that situation or to believe and encourage somebody else. And we'll talk all about these different gifts, but please understand that each and every one of you has the ability, has Jesus living inside of you, has the Holy Spirit living inside of you. So if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken or give life to your mortal body. And this world needs people that have power in their lives, not just a scripture verse, not just a prayer, but they need to have power in a world that has a lot of dark power. Do you believe that? Yes. We need to be those people. Christ is coming back. Honestly, Christ is coming back. I know that the older you get, the more you say he's coming back because he's coming back for you. You might be going on alone because you're just older, but Jesus is coming back for his church because he is going to catch up his bride, and we want to be caught doing what he wants done in this world. People need to go to heaven and not to hell. Amen. And we have that privilege. Not a job. Oh, man, I got to go out and witness to somebody again today. I remember being in that kind of a situation when I was first saved. I had to go knock on doors. Oh, man, drove me nuts. Got to hand out tracts. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do those kind of things. Those were packaged evangelism things, and they still work in some areas. But that's not my gift. My gift is to build a relationship with somebody, then get into their heart, and then love them, and then maybe open the door so that I can tell him about Jesus. And if he accepts him, wonderful. If he doesn't, that's between him and the Lord. Took a lot of pressure off me knowing that I didn't have to close the deal. You know, oh, come on, you got to, this is, if they say this, you say that. I had a flow chart. If they say this, you say this. If they say that, you say this, you say. And you kind of had to memorize the flow chart. And it was really nice because you're really connected with the person because all you were thinking about, what if they go there? What if they go here? You got to have an answer. Just let your heart speak. Let your story speak. And then God said, I'll give you the power. Give you the power to make that significant in those people's lives, that they know that this God that you serve is alive. Jesus has risen from the dead. That's why we've celebrated communion. That's why he changes lives. He is alive. He's not dead. You can't go visit his bones. But you'll be able to sit with him one day. Well, actually, more than one day. You'll be able to sit with him forever. So in the meantime, we just need to know why we're here in the meantime. It's to touch people's lives with his love. So we're going to talk about the word of wisdom. These get a little complicated. I'm going to talk to you a bit about wisdom to begin with, and then I'm going to try to fit it in so that it's practical, that we can all understand what the word of wisdom is and how to use it and what it does. So in Genesis 3, verse 6, it said, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. See, the serpent, I don't know. Serpent talked to her. Like, I don't like snakes to begin with. And if one talks to me, that would be really weird. Because the first thing I'd say is, I don't like you. So don't have anything they have to tell me wouldn't be of any value. But this serpent, because it became manifest in the garden, can you imagine? In the presence of God, Satan manifested into this snake or came into this snake. I don't know how it happened. But it's that snake said, Satan said through that snake to Eve, hey, you know what? If you take of that, you'll have the same wisdom as God. You'll be like God. Well, who doesn't want to have that kind of wisdom? Who doesn't? Probably innocently thought, wow, it'd be cool to be like, we hung out with God. We walked in the garden with him. If we could be just like him, wouldn't that be cool? But you can't be the creator if you're the created. And Satan already knew that, and that's why he fell from heaven, because he wasn't always Satan. He was actually one of the archangels. But he chose to be like God. And when he couldn't be like God, he wants to deceive everyone else so that they can be like God, because wisdom is what this world is craving. So they got kicked out of the garden. 1 Kings tells us a story here about God giving someone wisdom when they ask for it. 1 Kings 3, verse 7, it says, now, my Lord, you have made your servant king in the place of my father David. This is Solomon. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people, and you have chosen a great people, too numerous for me to count. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Amplified Bible says it this way, so give your servant an understanding mind and a hearing heart. That's a good description of wisdom, isn't it? With which to judge your people so that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to judge and rule this great people of yours? God, give us this morning an understanding mind and a hearing heart. Because like Elaine said, we can understand a situation and we can have all the knowledge and we can have all the laws and we can jump on that person. But if we have an understanding heart, mercy kicks in. And we'll deal with that situation differently. And that's what we need to be, is we need to be people who did like Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit to draw people to the Father. It doesn't mean you don't deal with situations. It's just that you don't deal with situations without the help of God. I'll tell you something, if it doesn't break your heart, then you shouldn't be saying anything. Honestly. If it doesn't break your heart, you know the old thing, you know, if you keep that up, I'll give you a spanking. If I keep that up, I'll give you a spanking. Can't do that nowadays, I guess. I don't know what you tell your kids. But in my day, our kids, you know, you wait till you get home. Well, that's really good. If you wait till they get home, you know, if you're driving, and our kids were acting up one day, and I said to them, okay, when you get home, you're going to get a spanking. So we had about 15 minutes to get home. I cooled down then. I don't want to give them a spanking. But I promised them. Do you understand what God is saying? Is that maybe you don't have to threaten them with a beating, and don't please beat your kids. That was never God's intent. But we'll do that if we're angry and we're out of control. We'll do that, and some of us are victims of that. And it changes your whole perspective. God is not talking about, he says, have an understanding heart. Or have a hearing heart, hear in your heart, let it break your heart. So in verse 29 it says, God gave wisdom to Solomon and every great insight and every breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. I don't know how much the sand on the seashore is. That's a lot. And And God must think that's a lot, because he also said to Abraham, not only will I give you offspring that's the sand that was meant, number as many as the sand of the seashore, but numerous as the stars in the sky. And we are still finding millions upon millions of new stars. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. Now, this guy, Sean, this guy was a Google. You ask him something and he, just like we ask something and we Google it now. He didn't. He was Google. He was an early day Google. So what about this wisdom and how does it connect? Well, I believe that knowledge connects with the intellect. That's why we Google things. That's all you can get from Google. Now, please don't get me wrong. I Google lots of things. I Google how to fix things. You know, YouTube it. I do it for all sorts of things, and I learn a lot. But that connects with my intellect. That connects with my mind. Wisdom connects with the heart. And the spirit and the soul reside in the heart. That's the seat of your feelings. That's who you are. That's where you respond from. So I believe that this is important to know. And it's interesting that it's in the scriptures it says he give you the word of wisdom and then the word of knowledge. But I believe that there's a connection there that has to run together. Proverbs 2 verses 10 and 11 says this, "For wisdom will enter your heart. Wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul." It'll enter your heart because that's where you will understand from. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. So that wisdom has to be in your heart. It has to be in your soul, and it has to be in your spirit, not just in your head. Not just in your head. There are people that know a lot of things, but don't know how to appropriate them. They don't know how to do them. They don't know how to share them. They just lay it out. Just lay it out. And you know what? Most of the time, they're not wrong, because they have the wisdom or the knowledge behind it. They just don't have the wisdom in how to present it. So, semiotics awareness. I use this word every once in a while because that's what my degree is in. I think it's cool, semiotics. Most people don't know what it is. That's why it's cool. But it really means just awareness. That's supposed to be awareness, not hyphenated or broken down there, but that. Awareness, just an awareness. Semiotics is awareness. So you hear me talk about an F-150, 4x4 pickup truck, blue, and I see them all over the place because I'm aware of them. Now, if I was to buy one, then I would see them even more. I go to my kid's house and he's got one. I go to my sister's house and she's got one. I think I should be part of the family. And there's just an awareness of something that's going on. And Paul's such a great example of this whole area we're talking about this morning. If you turn with me to Acts 17, or you can follow with me up here, verse 22, and I'm going to skip a bit through this chapter, but Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are religious. For I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship. I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.'" So what it's, his intellect kicked in. You need to be people who are aware of the surroundings. When you're talking to somebody, what are they talking about? Listen to them. Don't tell them all the wonderful stories about you. Listen to where they are so that you can engage in a conversation with them. As a paramedic, I had opportunities, lots, to witness to people. And even as a pastor, I've been asked to do funerals for people who don't go to church. Actually, in Parksville, the guy that ran the funeral home, people would come in and say, "Look, I want to have a funeral, but I don't want any preacher guy. I want anybody to preach at me." And he says, "Oh, I know exactly the guy. I'll call Jim." Like, I'm the pastor of the Pentecostal church, but to him, I was the guy that wouldn't preach at you, which is awesome. because you don't want to be preaching at somebody. You want to be aware of where they are. So I'd go and visit them, ask them, and the first thing they'd say, no scripture, no prayers. That's pretty tough for a preacher to do a funeral. No scripture, no prayers. So I say, okay. And I'd go into their house, have coffee with them. I'd be looking around. And there would be a scripture on the wall. And it's faded, like it's been there for a bajillion years. It's faded. Then I'd look in there brief. I mean, I wouldn't go up and, you know, and then over to the library. And I wouldn't go like that, but I would be looking. I would be aware of what they're, I would be aware of what they're reading. Maybe they're not reading anything to do with Christianity. Maybe they're reading something to do with some other religious organization or some other religious Eastern philosophies or something like that. But it gave me a starting point with them. It'd be an hour and a half, and I'd talk with them and find out what they wanted. They didn't want any hymns except Amazing Grace. They didn't want any scriptures after a while, except maybe that one, you know, the shepherd thing. Father, God's the shepherd or something with the sheep, that kind of thing. Because the person that's deceased used to have that in their Bible. Oh, no scripture, no prayer. But now we find out that the person had a Bible. I said, would you mind if I saw it? Yeah, that's fine. So I would look at that, and then I would go through their Bible and find where they scribbled little notes, and I would find out something that maybe 30 years ago they had a relationship with Christ, or maybe not. But everybody's on a journey. And so Paul's looking around, and he just went around town looking because he wanted some kind of point to connect with them so he could share Jesus. And that was the knowledge part. And then he says, I think this is the wisdom part. It's a little rough. He says, you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And that's ignorance in the right way. Just not knowing. We use the word ignorant and we go, oh, you know, don't use that. That's a bad word. No, ignorance in the proper sense is just ignorance, not knowing. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. This is the wisdom of grabbing the whole bunch of knowledge and saying, God, you've opened the door. Now I need the wisdom to be able to apply this. Now I have an understanding heart. The God who made the world and everything in this world is the God, the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. God doesn't need anything from you tangibly. He doesn't need your money. Some people go, well, you know, the church is always after my money. Well, yeah, like God's broke or something. No, God's not broke. He's not broke. What we use the money for is like to buy this new truck I want and stuff like that, and a new suit, a nice jacket, and some shoes and stuff. When I go to see other preachers, they need to know that I got some stuff. No, please. Strike that from the record. It's not true. The reality is that God doesn't need anything tangible. All he wants is you. He wants your relationship. And so Paul says he doesn't live in temples built by hands. He's not served by human hands like he doesn't need anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made the nations, that we should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their land. And Paul gets on this. He's just preaching his heart out. God did this so the people that they would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him, though he is not far off from any one of us. So can you see that? He just walked down to the town square and saw this statue. It said to an unknown God, and he knows who the God is. And then he says something that tells me that Paul was well-read. We need to be lifelong students, people. You need to know about all sorts of things. You just need to know. You need to. I didn't do anything well in school. And so I go online, again, Google, and I take physics. Can you imagine how silly that is? And the guy is really good. He draws little cartoon characters with lines, and it's really simple. And I still can't get it. But I'm interested in physics, and I just watched a documentary on the fastball, baseball. I don't even know much about baseball, but I love the physics of when that ball leaves the pitcher's hand and it goes 108 miles an hour, and there's 60 feet, 6 inches between the pitcher and the batter, and your brain has to calculate where that bullet, that rock, they call it hitting a rock with a stick. And at 108 miles an hour, that little ball knocked the head right off your shoulders. 108 miles an hour. And they said for the last couple of milliseconds, like 285 milliseconds, I'm not that smart, I just watched it last night. 285 milliseconds changes the ability to make 25 different calculations in your brain. Isn't that amazing? And you can either hit or not hit. And these guys, these pitchers, are all excited because they struck out everybody. They walked nobody. It was just a 0-0 game. But it's all, and there were psychologists on there telling us that our brain works this way. There's guys that do physics. I don't know what they are. They're guys that do physics. Anyways, and they did all this, and it was so interesting. And the guys that played baseball, the one guy says, well, there's this one guy who could pitch and the ball would start to rise. And it fizzes. No way. Can't happen. Impossible. And so then they get out the chalkboard and I love that kind of stuff. That's knowledge. And so if you find somebody who loves football or baseball, if you have football, then you're kind of on the wrong train. But it tells me that Paul watched a little bit of Google, watched a little bit of YouTube, watched a bit of Netflix. He watched some stuff and he read some books because he says, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Well, I tell you, when people hear their own words coming back to them, when they've gone to school and heard about this and they know it in their heart, then you have an entrance into their lives. Because you're respecting what they know. And when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered. But others said, we want to hear from you again on this subject. The knowledge now becomes a heart matter. That's the word of wisdom. And you'll get sneers. You'll get sneers. Paul was in a big riot. People were just ticked off with him preaching. So he had the Sadducees and the Pharisees wanted to kill him. And he's in the midst of this. But they're all together. Paul knows, because he's a Pharisee, that the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. The word, see, that's knowledge. The word of wisdom came to him. Tell him why you're here. Because you believe in the resurrection and the Pharisees don't. So he said, I'm here on account of my belief in the resurrection. And then the Sadducees got really mad. Because you're, and I've said this before, it's so bad. Because they don't believe in the resurrection. They're sad, you see. Isn't that sad? That's terrible. I don't even know whether it's mine originally or not, but I don't know whether I should take credit for it, but it's just horrible. But the Pharisees did, and so then there's a big riot. As a matter of fact, such a big riot, they had to bring all the cops in. They had to keep Paul from being torn apart. That's that's wisdom. That's a word of wisdom. We'll just stir this mess up and I'll get out because I have to go to Jerusalem to witness, to share. So you'll have people sneer, but you also have people whose hearts are touched by the Holy Spirit. And they'll say, we want to hear you again on this subject. And at that, Paul left the council. Some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Well, you might think, oh, yeah, well, they became followers of Paul. They're supposed to become followers of Jesus. But if you read the rest of what Paul wrote, follow me as I follow Jesus. And Paul will never get you into heaven. Neither will anybody else. I won't get you into heaven. I'd love to, but it's got to be Jesus. It's got to be Jesus. but we have the opportunity to represent Jesus and to be able to bring that knowledge and tie it in with the wisdom, the word of wisdom that will speak into the heart and change the hearts of people for all eternity. That's what the word of wisdom does. Paul was aware of their spiritual journey and gave God, and God gave him the word of knowledge to connect with their intellect, the mind, and the word of wisdom to connect with their heart, the soul, and spirit. I believe, this is what I believe, and I've been wrestling with this, and I feel sorry for who's translating this morning because I gave them a whole different sermon, or most of it anyway. And then this morning, because I went for a nice long walk yesterday, and God started talking to me about this, and then I go, so Pastor Stephen, would you just ask them to forgive me, okay? They have to. That's what we're supposed to do. But God spoke to me, and I think this is true. The word of knowledge precedes the word of wisdom. Because with that knowledge, we become people who can apply the wisdom. An application, I think, is the wisdom of knowledge. Knowledge connects with the intellect, the mind, and wisdom connects with the heart, the soul, and the spirit. I'm going to finish with this. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge won't convict, probably. It'll just give some information. Word of wisdom will convict. I remember working with a paramedic buddy of mine, and we worked in the Victoria General Hospital in what we called the annex, which was just actually a couple of hospital rooms that had no divider between them. They had two doors out, but one of them was blocked off by one of the beds we used to sleep in. Can you imagine having a job where the government pays you to sleep? Awesome. They actually even gave me pillowcases and sheets. I'd go on an evening shift and I'd have a pillowcase and two sheets. That's awesome. Thank you for paying your taxes. It's awesome. And he gave me a nice little uniform too. Anyways, so I was with this guy, Bill, and we were in the annex, and it was pretty quiet that night, so you're stuck with each other for 14 hours. If you hate each other, you hate each other for 14 hours. And you probably have to go back the next night and hate each other. But if you like each other and you get along, that's fine. And so what are you going to do for 14 hours? You can only watch cartoons for so long. Really, you know, that's what we did. I didn't really watch cartoons that much. But anyway, so we'd get into discussions. And I was a Christian. He wasn't. And so he would start asking little questions. And then I'd get into where the knowledge was coming from, because everybody's on a spiritual journey. And then I would tie in what God was saying through me. And so this was about, we'd start a shift at 6 o'clock in the evening, and we'd go on till, you know, at 6 o'clock in the morning. Or 8 o'clock in the morning, 14-hour shifts. So you're stuck with this person. So about, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the morning, we just finished our McDonald's and a couple pots of coffee and all the healthy things you can do to go and help people who are not healthy. And he started asking me questions about Jesus. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit was just like, it was there. Like, it was awesome. Just him and I. And it was like this, and... And he just got up and said, I got to go. And I had to laugh because where are you going to go? Wherever you go, I come. But the conviction, you see, the knowledge was there, and then the Holy Spirit moved in the conviction into the heart of this guy. Now, he didn't accept Jesus that night, but the Holy Spirit used the word of knowledge to speak into his heart. That's what it's all about. That changes our lives. That changed my life. That changes your life. That changes the lives that you're going to meet this week. It changes your family's lives. The word of wisdom is power. The light comes on inside the heart. There's a conviction there. The Holy Spirit said, I come to convict. Not condemn, but to convict. Have the worship team come up, please. Somebody not happy. So can you see how this works in your life? It works in your life. You might be a Christian for like 20 years or 30 years or 40 or 50 years, or you might have just been a Christian since this morning. This is the same gift that works in all of our lives. And I just want to encourage you to step out in this area. I want you to be semiotic. I want you to be aware of what God's doing. Come along somebody, wherever you are, just listen to them. Elaine and I were in the hospital visiting somebody, and there was a gal in the elevator, and we're coming down, and we just started a conversation. Nobody talks in an elevator. You ever notice that? They are looking. Why are they? Nobody. It's great. It's great if you just turn and stand against the door and look them in the eye. But just say, we just said, do you come here very often? And she said, yeah, my husband's here and I come 2 or 3 times a day. That's the knowledge piece. The wisdom piece was, when the elevator door opened and we went out on the same floor, can we pray for you? We're pastors. And she said, yes. That's the wisdom piece, people. It's not really that difficult. And we can all do it. And my prayer for you this morning is that you will all do it. That you'll do it anywhere you find yourself. So I want you to stand. We're going to worship. I want you to also... If you're just struggling with something, we got a beautiful weekend ahead of us here. Great sunshine and all of that. But please don't leave here this morning without being prayed for. We have people who will pray for you. We want to invite you to come up. We just want you. Maybe you're struggling with this. I don't have the courage. You don't need the courage. You just need to know how it works and let him do it through you. Maybe you need something yourself, something. Maybe God needs to speak some wisdom. And you know what? God will speak specific words of wisdom as well. And he might use anyone here to do that. So I'd invite people to come up and maybe just line up here, the prayer team. Just come up here. And then I just want to spend a few minutes giving you the opportunity to let God minister in your heart. So have an awesome Canada Day weekend. But before you do that, have an awesome encounter with God and let him minister to you through his wisdom this morning. I invite you to come.